It's Thursday, May 1st, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central. This is show number 945, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 32% off at GoDaddy or pick up a domain name for $2.95. All my specials can be found at GeekNewsCentral.com/GoDaddy. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you. We're going to talk about E.T., specifically SETI and E.T., and a whole lot more. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha, everyone, and welcome to Geek News Central. Of course, my name is Todd Cochran. I'm just absolutely excited to be with you tonight. It has been probably one of the most interesting days that I have had in many, many months. Just some, it's been a day filled with phone ringing and who's this and what? It's been it's just like when it rains, it pours. It's been pretty incredible. So it's all good. And really, I was on track to have the show ready to go on time tonight. And it's 6 p.m. Hawaiian Standard Time, which is like 11 o'clock East Coast and like, you know, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Someone from one of the Western states called me and said, hey, have you got 30 minutes? And of course, 30 minutes turned into an hour and probably one of the more interesting, again, phone calls I've had all year. So I was kind of rushed to get going here tonight, but I got a great show lined up for you, man. We got a lot of stuff to share. And of course, if you're brand new to the show, I want to give you a warm welcome. Of course, all of the Ohana, all the longtime viewers and listeners, thanks for being here and thanks for being part of the family. And we want you to make sure you basically get connected with the show. It's real easy. All you got to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com. You'll find right on the website a place to subscribe to all the shows there. Gadget Professor, Robot Underpants, New Media Show, our special media events, and on and on and on. And, of course, our newsletter as well. So feel free to come over to the website. Of course, great content being written by the team. Lots of stuff going on. Not a lot of work since the last show on the website. Things have just been too insane to be able to do that, but I think we've worked through all the bugs and some of the caching issues, and then we got a couple more steps to go here, and then we'll be, as a matter of fact, I was talking with the template designer today. I'm like, when's this thing gonna be ready? I'm ready to, you know, roll this new design out, because we got to roll the extra. And what's going on is Geek News Central, for those of you new, Geek News Central is going through a complete revamp, so we're excited to do that and bring that to you. I'm getting ahead of myself tonight. I'm, as you can tell, I'm a little bit animated, but other than that, things are cool. Hey, you can reach out real easily at Geek News on Twitter. Of course, you can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com at any time. Leave a comment, thought, suggestion, kick in the pants, whatever it may be. I definitely want to hear from you. So we appreciate all of you that are, you know, basically sending comments into the show. I know some of you send emails that don't read on the show. We really want to read the suggestions on the show. So please feel free to, you know, take that restriction off when you send the email. Of course, you can follow on Google+, on Facebook. All those will be in the show notes tonight, which will come to those of you on the newsletter directly in your inbox immediately following the show. I'm about, I think, 90% over the bug or whatever I had. At least my nose isn't completely like exploding on me on the last show. Cough is semi-suppressed. We'll see if my voice lasts the whole hour. But yeah, it's like I didn't stop talking all day. And that's just, it's a little bit crazy. So I've been, I'm definitely going to, after the show tonight, have some decompression time to sit down and think about all this stuff that's come in. So I can't share very much, but it's really exciting stuff. Okay, so let me go ahead here and look at my stack. Again, a lot of major business deals in work here. Major work, of course, at Geek News Central. Moving the media around is done. Now we got to do run some scripts and stuff, which is kind of the final leg on that. This coming Saturday on the New Media Show, we're going to have the guest of the Entrepreneur on Fire podcast. And that should be proved to be a pretty interesting hour or so of discussions. I think the host of that show has, you know, he's basically building a great business, but I have some, you know, some questions, and I'm sure it'll be good. And of course, all of you that are have contributed to the show and are part of our insiders, I want to encourage you to make sure you get on our all of our insider mailing list and everything by emailing Sam at insider at geeknewscentral.com. For our UK listeners, we're going to have a special contest just for the folks in UK. One of our writers is going to give away some stuff, so we'll be announcing that on the website soon. So definitely, for those of you UK, it's a UK special giveaway. Sam will still be handling the logistics, but our rep in the UK will be doing that. Tonight, we're using a new camera angle. The original one is still here, and then I'm just doing a little bit of playing around with the camera positions, trying to figure out exactly where I want stuff, and from an angle standpoint, and it's... you know, it's basically a little, and basically what we are now is all the cameras are essentially a little bit updated, and we're feeding the TriCaster all SDI signals except for the still the SD point tilt zoom that's in the corner that we don't use very often. But we'll be working out these camera angles a little bit, and we're getting them dialed in here over the next couple of weeks. Okay, what else is going on? I just want to, of course, thank our sponsors, GoDaddy. GoDaddy's been here month after month, year after year, and they would not be here unless you have taken advantage of some of the great deals that they've offered. Now, we've got another offer coming. I'll probably get it sometime early next week. They didn't have it to me ready to go for the show tonight, but there will be a new offer. But this 32% offer, I mean, it's rocking. It is absolutely incredible the number of folks have taken advantage of that. So, you know, the dream starts with 32% off new products at GoDaddy, and my code is a way to do that. And you can find all my codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. The 32% off code is GO32OFF1. The 25% code, it also works on top-level domains, is GO25OFF5. Then 50% off new hosting plans with a free domain is 50host7. 50% off 12 months of business website builder with a free domain is 50wsb7. And of course, the $295.com for one new or transfer.com for the first year. Again, $295 per month. Oh, no, excuse me, $295 for the .com, not per month, $295. And then there's some other codes there as well. But, you know, again, all that information can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We want to thank GoDaddy for, again, being a longtime sponsor here, keeping the lights on, allowing us to do what we do. And it is greatly appreciated, and we appreciate all of you that pick up products and services over there. No one's going to give you better deals, and no one's going to support you if you have an issue. So, you know, if you've ever picked up a product with them and you've had some challenges, definitely email me. I'll reach out to my contacts over there, do best I can to get you kind of a little bit higher priority in the queue. So definitely drop me a line and let me know if you've ever had a problem or you're having a problem. That's part of the extra added value services here that I'm offering as being a listener of Geek News Central. Okay, so again, thanks GoDaddy. And let's go ahead and kind of move along a little bit tonight and keep the show rocking and rolling. I was kind of excited today to see in the news an article that just immediately caught my attention. Now, for many years, I ran, I guess for a better word, a SETI node. It was used to, let's see, how does that look? guess the angle looks a little darker. Didn't get the cameras dialed in, did I? But anyway, the and those of you that are listening, I'm kind of observing the, the downstream camera view. But so for a number of years, I just had a, you know, basically take some packets, process it, and send it back. And it was part of their, you know, basically trying to use, you know, processing power of the internet, people on the internet to help to add to trying to find ET, essentially. So when I saw a headline, and let me get this headline loaded for you here. And this came from science2.0.com, not necessarily directly from the SETI folks themselves. Here's the headline. And let me actually bring it up on the screen so you can see it. And let me see if I can get the switches right here. A better than 50-50 chance Kepler-186f has technological life. SETI's live data on Kepler-186 solar system could be revealing evidence of extraterrestrial life. SETI may have seen ET's satellite signals already, and this is basically data analysis by the writer of this article. Now, we're going to get a little deep here, and let me talk a little bit about, and I don't know if you can see this very well, those of you that are watching, but it's essentially a spectrum display. And what the spectrum display has is on the bottom of it, and if you're watching, and basically just imagine, okay, so the best way to describe it is imagine the computer monitor or the mobile phone that is in front of you, and you just tilt it so that the bottom axis, the long axis, is on the bottom, and put it in like a 16:9 format. So across the bottom, starting from left to right, is a frequency. Okay, so whatever frequency they're center tuned to, and with the tuner, with using the satellite as basically a big antenna, they basically pull in signals from space, and they analyze that in a spectrum display. And for those of you that may have had some time in the military and been involved in the anti-submarine warfare world, those guys kind of look at a spectrum too. And the goal is to pick out something in that spectrum that is, for a better word, not supposed to be there. Normally, there's going to be a certain amount of background noise. There's going to be earthborne signals, all this stuff that's going to be in there. In that spectrum of data, you've got to pick out a signal. And it could be something that's just, you know, intermittent. It may go, you know, like, for example, doot, and later it might go doot, and then later it might just go beep. But it could be across, you know, what you're looking for, as they, you know, talked about in the movie Jodie Foster was on, a nice strong signal that would come in and just, it would be really evident that something is going on. Well, in reality, when you have a star system that is 500 light years away, you can imagine even with the satellites that we have in space today, they are largely transmitting towards the Earth a signal and receiving signals from Earth. Many of those signals are very focused. So what you have in any normal planetary system is, you know, it's a lot of energy being radiated in, but not a lot of energy. Well, a lot of energy radiated from the interior of Earth out, but a lot of that isn't going to, you know, it depends on the signal, you know, cell phone, blah, 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 how far that signal will basically travel. Now, in space, there's really nothing to stop a signal from traveling, and that's why we're able to basically still get a signal very easily from Voyager, the two Voyager spacecraft that are basically way out at this time. So, but you're talking about 500 light years, that's a whole different game in basically the signal, and the term I like to use is down in the weeds. I mean, you imagine you look out in your yard and you've got grass, and imagine that you have to pick out just a brand new a shoot of grass, a blade of grass that just has broken the surface, and you've got a big yard. You've got to pick that baby out and see it and be consistent and be able to lock onto it. And that's tough. That's a very, very tough thing. And generally, the wider you look in a spectrum, what will happen is that just by the nature of the equipment that is being used to process that, as the wider the spectrum is, usually the higher the noise floor. So typically, what will happen is they will narrow the noise, they'll narrow the bandwidth to drive the noise floor down. And in this case, I don't know what the bandwidth was that they were using to look at these signals, but this guy has pulled out of this noisy data what appears to be about hits of about 9 different frequencies. So if you think about that, 9 frequencies. Now you think about what's going on Earth. We've got, everyone's got a cell phone. You've got radars. You've got communication systems. You've got ham operators. If you look at an RF spectrum chart, it's jam packed. And you talk about the FCC right now getting ready to sell 30 megahertz, which just is a tiny itsy bitsy little sliver of the entire spectrum. This particular signal is sitting at about 6250 megahertz, which, is utilized for many things on Earth-based systems. So you have to say, okay, is this us or is this ET? And what this guy has done is he has processed that signal. Any of you that are scientists out there will understand what MATLAB is. And basically he has taken that signal and run it through a bunch of processes, and he's filtered it with MATLAB code at least 5 times using what's called the Wiener filter, and he also performs an FFT, which is basically, and this is he's just using the image data. He's been able to really isolate and get down the weeds and pull up some information. Now, if you're and let me show you, see if I can blow this up anymore. Those of you that are watching, I can, but it's going to get weird here. Let's see if I can. Okay, so what you have on this page is again the waterfall. But you got these specks of data that are coming through that are just basically breaking threshold. And so this guy is predicting that there's a 50-50 chance based upon what he is seeing here that we may have gotten some carrier frequencies. Now, SETI hasn't said anything. And this may turn out to be bunk. And he says, really, to get any higher of a prediction, you have to have a firm, and there's multiple parts you're going to have. You're going to have firm detection of a habitable zone, Earth mass planet. In other words, you're going to have a planet out there that's as big as ours and probably about the same distance away from its sun. Going to have at least a marginal detection of a non-random, non-natural radio or optical or other signal from said planet. And you're going to have some spectroscopic analysis of the planet's atmosphere indicative of habitability and maybe use of technology, seeing carbon or something like that, to get any higher. So, this is kind of cool. And so even if this turns out to be completely bunk and not the real deal, at least you guys will kind of get an idea that what we're really looking for. And it actually, my analogy of just a new blade of grass coming up in a yard, you have to be able to dig that out. It's probably actually easier to find than actually be able to prove that you've got a signal from ET that's basically you're picking up as a signal. So we will see where this leads and whether or not we move any farther on this. But, you know, the waterfall plots, to the trained eye, you're going to say that's just crap. There's nothing. I mean, the untrained eye, there's not crap there. There's, you know, there's nothing there. It's just noise. And what I did is I blew this up as big as I could on my computer and got my ruler out and laid it down and baby's trying to see if I could see the same tracks. And again, this is a really, poor man's analysis tools to get the sophistication that they would need to. They actually have to get in and hone in on just that, you know, what they were able to capture from an IF standpoint. So the RF comes in, goes through a tuner, comes out as IF, and that IF basically should have some data in it. And then you analyzing that data, you'll be able to tell, okay, is this just random junk or has this got some structure to it? There's a lot of different things going on there. So it's pretty cool. We'll see. I'm not going to get too excited, but it'd be very unlikely, like in the Jodie Foster movie, where you get a nice just whoop comes up in a nice big signal. I don't think that's going to happen based on distance, energy. You know, this stuff's hard. It really, really is. So anyway, 6430.5 megahertz, recorded on April 12th at 1920 UTC. That's where they were sitting at the time. At 6430.5 megahertz or 6.4305 gigahertz, which is, you know, just the translation there. But, I've always been cool. I've been thinking at some point the SETI guys, you know, they're going to get lucky. Time will tell whether or not this turns out to be the real deal. I'd like to just see the real data. I'd like to get the real, you know, the real raw data and be able to look at that. And again, it's got to be more than just some blips. It has some structure and hopefully something semi-intelligent on it to be able to make any kind of determination. Then you got to filter out all the other, you got to filter out the whole world essentially, and everything else is in space, and hope that you didn't pick up something random. And that's very, very hard. All right, let's switch gears here completely, get off the sci-fi stuff here, and let's talk a little bit about Yahoo. Starting today, Yahoo will not honor the Do Not Track setting in your browser. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I've been running Do Not Track on my on Chrome and in Firefox. And Yahoo has basically held up their hands and flipped us all the bird because they are saying they are not going to honor the Do Not Track settings, and they are going to continue to track you and spy on you. So regardless of whether you've enabled the Do Not Track setting on your browser, this is a pretty bold stance by a company which describes the shift as personalized experience by default. And this is a serious blow to the Do Not Track standard, which is, of course, we know suffered a couple of major setbacks in recent years. Congress wouldn't help us out. But Yahoo is saying, we fundamentally believe the best web is a personalized one. Yeah, a personalized one. They got to make some money. They got to track you and sell to you. But advertisers don't want that turned off. They want to track you. So I hope you guys vote with your feet. I don't think they're only ones, though, but they're the ones that at least have announced today. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Something even more interesting, though, today is according to an article in the Washington Post, Apple, Facebook, and others are going to be defying the U.S. government and notifying users of secret data demands. So this is big. The increasingly defiant industry is giving some of the tens of thousands of Americans whose internet data gets swept into criminal investigations each year the opportunity to fight in court to prevent disclosures. Now, of course, prosecutors are not happy. They warn that tech companies may undermine cases by tipping off criminals, giving them time to destroy vital electronic evidence before it can be gathered. So this is an interesting move. So people are rewriting their terms of service and user agreements. And basically you can say, hey, we will tell you if someone asks for your data, instead of, no, we won't. Now, there is, excuse me, sorry about that. There is obviously some exceptions. Routinely these come in, these don't come as a warrant. They come in as a request. So there can be some situations where they wouldn't be able to basically inform the person with the account. Basically, it's when it comes to if something is gagged by a judge or other legal authority, the companies will still have to comply. Or also from a national, I believe from Department of Homeland Security, when it's involved in a foreign intelligence surveillance court action. Basically, those requests for access to people's data, I guess, are automatically kept secret by federal law. So, but it looks like lawyers at Apple, Facebook, and Microsoft are working on their own revisions. A company official said, although details have not been released, all are moving toward more routinely notifying users, said the companies, which had not previously disclosed these changes. So this is big. So I think Apple later this month will be one of the first out of the gate, but it's pretty this is a pretty big deal from a change in policy standpoint, because up to this point they did not they really did not have to inform you part of the agreement. While at the same time, it's being reported that we should not expect Google's help in saving net neutrality. You know, they got on board pretty big time when it come to SOPA. But right now, there's been a lot of non-committal language by Google and other groups on what's going on with the FCC. Now, apparently, the FCC is going to be briefing them tomorrow. And at this point, they're referring questions to the Internet Association, which is a two-year-old trade group representing Google, Yahoo, Netflix, and others. But officials inside the companies who follow government policy say they're considering mobilizing a grassroots campaign to rally public opinion, but not 100% response from those companies that they'll be getting behind that. But it appears, and people are afraid, without Google's help, that the FCC is just going to, not going to be able to be swayed in their decision. So time will tell on this, and we'll keep you advised on where things go. Hey, if you didn't get it already, there's a patch coming. Expect your computer to be rebooted in the morning, or if you're waking up to a rebooted computer already, that's old news to you. But Microsoft has patched IE zero-day flaw. They've also did an update for Windows XP, which was surprising people, despite the end of support. What's interesting is the folks over Ars Technica said Microsoft's decision to patch Windows XP was a mistake. And it's a one-off patch. It kind of makes no meaningful difference to the security of the platform. You know, Internet Explorer received security patches in 11 of the last 12 patch Tuesdays. And other browsers such as Chrome and Firefox received security updates on a comparable frequency. So this is kind of an interesting move here. They're saying it's, the XP people are already highly at risk, and they shouldn't be giving them this false sense of security for using XP. So just be aware, okay? You really need to get off Windows XP if you can. But that patch coming from Microsoft should be pushed into your system if it isn't already. Very shortly, you can initiate your own update. A little more space news. Follow up to Comet Lovejoy, and just kind of a after action report on how it actually did survive its pass with the sun. And I don't know if we actually talked about that survival, because I think we were right around CES time and they were still questioning it. But I have a link up in the show notes on that. You guys can get caught up. The United States has banned the U.S. Air Force and United Launch Alliance from buying Russian-made rocket engines used to launch many national security missions because of sanctions against Russian leaders. This was a ruling by a U.S. federal judge on Wednesday. So apparently the company has enough pre-built engines to last a couple of years. And they've already paid for some that are on order that they'll still be able to take delivery of. But ULA is a little bit worried. So is the Air Force. I didn't realize we bought, or ULA bought, Russian motors as well. That kind of surprises me. And of course, that's on the heels of the action by SpaceX suing over those launches themselves. You know, SpaceX built in America, baby. Woohoo! I don't have to worry about Russian parts for that unit, that launch system. SpaceX has also captured a grainy view of its amazing reusable rocket landing test. And basically what this was and I don't know why SpaceX didn't have a ship in the zone to be able to catch this video or not, but they've got this grainy video. It shows, it looks like it's landing, but they're asking the public for help in cleaning this up. Now, it appears that they're, the ocean, because of ocean sea states, the stage got beat up pretty bad. And they were able to get some video from the onboard cameras. So I'm hoping that they're going to have more data to come out. But I don't understand why they didn't have as good of pictures as they did. But the one image is pretty incredible. You can see it's in a down. It's not spinning. And so anyway, very, very, very cool stuff here. And a link will be up in the show notes on that. We're kind of waiting on word. I'm just a little disappointed in the actual video quality. Okay, so let's talk just a tad bit here on a new selfie that's been put out by the Mars Curiosity team. So I'll have a link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Just pretty cool. It's, you know, it's just amazing. Can you, you know, these guys that that work the Mars program, they probably get used to it after a while. But every time I see, you know, basically pictures from Mars, it really does remind me of, you know, some desert areas. And it's, you know, it doesn't look that much different than, you know, being on Earth. It really doesn't, being out in the desert somewhere. So it is pretty cool what they've done here. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you guys to check that out. It was an article on universetoday.com. All right, now check this guy. Check this out. This dude, what an idiot. A guy in Florida had a personal agenda, and he's been driving around with a cell phone jamming equipment in his car for a couple of years. Now, none of us like a distracted driver on the road, but Jason Humphreys went a step too far in trying to combat the problem. Florida hasn't yet outlawed talking on the phone while driving, so for 2 years, Humphrey carried a powerful cell phone jammer in his car during the daily commute to work. The jammer crippled cell reception for those around him along a stretch of Interstate 4. Well, it turns out that MetroPCS noticed that the reception was flatlining along the same point of I-4 twice each day. So once the FCC became aware of the situation, it used sophisticated interference detection techniques to track the problem down to Humphreys and his Toyota Highlander. When officials finally pulled him over, it didn't take too long to confirm their suspicions. As they approached the vehicle, officers immediately noticed that their radios lost all contact with dispatch. So this guy, while he's not going to go to jail, he's going to get hit heavily. $48,000 in fines. So be aware, if you run a cell phone jammer and you get caught, $48,000. Oh man, that would hurt. So, but stupid is, stupid does. This guy thought he could get away with it. Did he really think that they wouldn't figure it out? Don't they know that cell phone companies monitor this stuff? You know, enough people call and say, hey, and I keep losing my cell phone signal. I'm driving down this highway every day. What's up with your system? They get a few of those calls. They start looking at the equipment and the signals. It's just really pretty, pretty incredible. All right, there's a good article on Tech Dirt, and it's more a worry than anything else. The title of this article says, and and I'll bring it up, and there's no really imagery to go along with it. But the folks at Tech Dirt are, see if I can hit this right here. Yeah, that was dumb. The Supreme Court's real technology problem, it thinks carrying two iPhones means you're a drug dealer. So apparently a lot of folks in the tech space spent some time analyzing what happened at the Supreme Court. And basically, because the folks at the Supreme Court are not necessarily spring chickens, most of the folks there are older, and some of them are very old, and some of them are like a grandpa ancient old. And I don't take any offense to this, because I know if you're listening, you guys are dialed in. But the Supreme Court justices really didn't understand fully the tech. It's not, and what the folks at TechDirt says, it's not essential that the court knows specifics about how technology itself works. And as Timothy Lee argues, that might even tempt them to make technology-based decisions that don't generalize well. However, it is essential that the court understands how people use technology, especially in areas where they're trying to elaborate a standard of what expectations are reasonable. So when Chief Justice Roberts suggested, he's like one of the young guys on the court, suggested that a person carrying two cell phones might reasonably be suspected of dealing drugs, you know, I think a lot of us would go, what? Because I almost bet that half the lawyers in the Supreme Court bar had two cell phones in their pocket. I carry two cell phones from time to time. And that's pretty eye-opening that they would consider that. And, you know, this comment is a little bit off the hook. Does it mean if I have one or two laptops that I'm doing something nefarious as well? So anyway, it is an eye opener, and I think this will become an ongoing issue when we come to legal issues and questions that are being raised in courts, and not only in courts, but just everyday dealings. People just don't fully understand the technology. It's like I was talking with a guy today, and he tells me what he's doing. I'm pretty excited about his project, and I'm like, oh yeah, we can implement this, 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 and this. I said, this is not a big deal. This is doable. You know, I explained I'm going to get a proposal, and the guy's like, I don't understand anything. I know how to do this part, and so this guy was good at what he did, but yet when it comes to this other segment, for me it was just kind of second nature. Yeah, this is like chewing gum. You know, it's what I do or what we do. And for him, it's just like, it's magic. You know, we're going to make it happen. And, you know, what we're going to set up for them will be incredible. And, you know, I think, you know, he says, you can do that. I said, oh, yeah. I mean, and this will be simple for your end users to use. You know, we'll be able to. And it was the same type of conversation. And I'm sure if I was to walk into some business or some manufacturing facility where I had really no clue what the hell was going on, I would probably be in the same state. I'd be astonished that they were able to do what they were able to do. But at the same time, it'll be a learning experience. And I hope that everyone keeps their eyes open, ears open, and continues to learn and absorb as much as they can. Because if not, the world's going to keep on hauling. All right, let's flip back here to something that's really important. And something that I think was a big announcement today that is very significant. Cox Communications, the third largest cable company, says it plans to bring, hold your hats, gigabit cable broadband services to residential customers by the end of 2014. In an interview with Bloomberg News, Pat Esser, the president chief executive officer of Cox, said the gigabit services to residential companies was a natural extension of the service it already supplies to businesses. It also appears that the company plans to offer gigabit service to every subscriber eventually. Now, who they're going to be able to try to compete with first? Well, where Google is going, they're going to probably be rolling out that the soonest to try to compete. We know that Google announced a massive expansion of fiber to up to 34 cities as well. They include San Francisco, Phoenix, Portland, and Atlanta, along with other, you know, so this is all Cox land, the Cox cable land. So, but this is awesome. They've been testing the interoperability arm of the cable industry and basically the 10 gigabit DOCSIS 3.1 specification, which is being implemented that Cox is going to move forward on. 1 gig would be great. 10 gigs would be incredible. Of course, the back end, the server infrastructure probably won't handle it, but that means you can definitely do a lot online together. All right. Hey, do you have an Android phone? Do you want to access iCloud on your Android phone? You can. The folks over at MakeUseOf.com have a great, basically a how-to. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. And moving on over at TorrentFreak.com. Yes, Kim.com. Thanks the RIAA and MPAA for Mega's massive growth. Basically, the cloud storage company founded by Kim.com has seen the number of uploads triple in the past 6 months. Mega users now upload a total of 500 million files per month, according to Kim.com. And he says the MPAA and RIAA deserve some credit. He says they've just continued to, you know, beat me down. And essentially, at the same time, Mega's been getting lots of publicity. So they're receiving about 10,000 files per minute on the service. Anybody in this audience using Mega? Have any of you signed up for his service? I know I haven't. Love to hear from you if you have, and tell me how you're using it, even in all the ways you're using it. Are you know, on the Chrome, on the in a browser, you know, how many of you just Google for a, you're lazy, you don't type out geeknewscentral.com, maybe you just type in Geek News, get the Google page to load up, then you click on Geek News Central. Well, Google is killing URLs in Chrome beta channel. So in an upcoming version of Chrome, what'll happen is you'll type in geeknewscentral.com, you come to the website, and if you click on a article on Geek News Central, it loads up another page. The browser bar is not going to show the full URL. It'll just say geeknewscentral.com. And to get that, you'll have to do like an extra click to actually show the actual URL of the landing page that you're on. This is kind of an interesting move here and a change to default action of the address bar that we've all been used to since the beginning of the internet. And I think this is a way of Google trying to solidify people to use Google.com a lot more. But definitely kind of an interesting move here from a implementation standpoint. All right, there's a website out there called Hopper. It shows you how to buy, or shows you the very best time to fly and buy a ticket for your route. And it basically looks at the history of ticket prices in this specific week. This, and it gives you the best time and when to go and buy those tickets. So that's pretty cool. Hopper data tools allow you to really find, as they say, the biggest savings for a particular trip if you have some flexibility. And basically, you can get your inbound and outbound, maybe save yourself $100 or so. So definitely check out Hopper. All right. Great article on Pando Daily talking about how a Florida kid built a pretty stupid app and saved his family's home and landed him on the main stage of Facebook. This is a great article to read for any of you that are thinking about beginning and jumping into the app development business to try to sell apps on iOS and Android. Talks about this young entrepreneur. He started writing apps when he was 13, and he's 17 years old now. But it talks about his trials and tribulations, success and lack of income, and challenges he run into from a deployment standpoint, being younger as well. It's a great, great article. I read through it, and there's some good stuff in this thing. So this will be a star tonight. Definitely one that you'll want to read. All right, Verizon is pushing the FCC to reconsider restrictions on the upcoming spectrum auction. Remember, I talked about earlier that they're going to be selling 30 megahertz of the spectrum. And basically, what the FCC has said is that one carrier can only own a portion, can't buy the entire bandwidth in a market. and Verizon saying, hey, these folks at T-Mobile and Sprint, they've got the money. They can spend the big bucks. And the FCC is trying to spread that, the love around a little bit here. They still have to raise $7 billion in this auction to pay the broadcast companies that are giving up that specific spectrum as well. So very cool. And we'll see what happens. But Verizon, again, whining because they've got the money. They got big money and they want to buy all that spectrum. They don't want Sprint and T-Mobile to have any of it. And they can afford to pay the bigger dollars. So the FCC is playing a little bit here with the economics on that. Still using Firefox? Well, did you know Firefox has an HTTP cache? I'm going to tell you this. This will help you speed up your browsing speed. So link will be up in the show notes. If you want to enable their cache, you can help save some websites some bandwidth and increase your page load times. It's being reported that tablet demand hits a wall and sales are down big time. And basically, people are not needing to upgrade. They're happy with the tablets they have, and they're not going out and buying a new tablet every year like they used to. And that should not be surprising at all to any of us. Hey, today is the 50th anniversary of BASIC. How many of you remember doing a few BASIC commands, or how many of you even had a computer that would recognize BASIC? I think there's some BASIC emulators out there now you can probably download for... You guys hear that in the background? I think my daughter's got headset on and is singing. I can hear her playing music in the background. So if you hear someone singing, it's her. Believe me, we did never paid for no lessons, and it's obvious. I'm even worse, and I think I had some lessons as a kid. But anyway, congratulations to BASIC on its 50th anniversary. Neurosurgeons are getting ready to bring graphene to the operating table. And this is pretty exciting stuff. I read through this, the use cases. And basically, this graphene is so flexible and so thin. And it also reacts to IR and UV ranges of energy. And it's a good absorber. And basically, what it will do is, like, they could wrap this graphene around a tumor. If they can't cut the tumor out, and then it's basically graphene's light sensitive material, like I said, and then they could just illuminate it after the surgery to heat it up and to help kill the tumor. So it's kind of cool stuff. Does a whole bunch of stuff. It's being used in nerve reconnection and a whole bunch of stuff. So link it up in the show notes. They're getting some pretty exotic stuff going into bodies and using it as treatment regimens. There's apparently a headband called Halo that allegedly makes you smarter. And I told you before, I would be very afraid to put something on my head and start basically firing electricity into my head. And the folks that wear these Halos, they call themselves tuners. They tune themselves in. But it includes electric shock, magnetic fields, infrared light, and radio waves. Apparently, they've gotten $1.5 million from Mark Anderson. The FDA is going to have to come out and say, yep, this is good to go. I just can't imagine sticking one of these things on my head and just arbitrarily zapping myself, thinking I'm going to get smarter. I just don't think that's going to work out so well. All right, Google now remembers where you parked your car. Don't know exactly how it works, but apparently it'll lead you back to your vehicle if you forget where you parked. Okay, that's kind of cool. Doesn't say you have to push a button or anything, but at least how about a parking garage? Help me find my car in a parking garage. Then you're doing something. All right, next article. Edward Snowden's operating system of choice is the Linux-based Tails. It's now out of beta, and so he's been using Tails to cover his own, basically whistleblowing. This operating system is now in a beta as version 1.0, letting you surf on most PCs while leaving zero trace of your activities. Yeah, right. In the anonymizing apps include email, IM clients, and Office Suite, a web browser, image and sound editors, and the infamous Tor Anonymity Network. We know how secure that is. We've talked about that in recent times. And then, so anyway, if you're interested in running the operating system of Edward Snowden, who looks like he's going to stay in Russia, probably can't leave. Vladimir probably said, "You leave, we will kill you." You know, that's how they play over there. All right, T-Mobile has added 2.4 million customers in the last quarter, really kind of distancing itself from Sprint. That's news. So a big number here. Congratulations to T-Mobile. Your network still sucks here in Hawaii, by the way. All right, Sony expects huge losses after bailing on PC business. They're basically forecasting, revising forecasts of their 2014 fiscal year. Sony previously said it would generate 80 billion yen in operating income. The company is now dialing that estimate down to 26 billion yen. That's incredible. All told, the company expects to book a net loss of 130 billion yen. Final numbers to be announced later this month. This is huge. So we'll see where this goes. Sony definitely not out of trouble yet. Boy, they were the darlings of the electronic industry for so many years. Skype community has achieved 2 millionth user. I thought Skype would have been a lot more people using Skype than what it has. Only 2 million? Is that it? I'm kind of like, oh, really? Everyone I know, every geek I know uses Skype. My kids use Skype. That's how they talk to their friends. Instead of using their mobile phones, use their minutes, they get on the Wi-Fi and then they get on Skype. That's what they do and use the Wi-Fi here in the house instead of burning minutes on their phone that they don't have. So pretty cool. Or Amazon same-day delivery service adds 2 cities but loses 1. So what's going on here? The speedy shipping is now available in Dallas and San Francisco, letting locals get some of their orders on a given day by 9 p.m. that night. Cutoff times for same day are getting later in Dallas, Los Angeles, Phoenix, San Francisco, and Seattle. Which was cut? Las Vegas has lost same day delivery. So, wow, big city like Las Vegas lost same day delivery. Must be not spending enough money on Amazon. So that's good news for those of you that live in those major metropolitan areas. All right, New York City looks to blanket the 5 boroughs with free Wi-Fi thanks to next-generation payphones. So, of course, you know, payphones were all over. You know, if you think about New York City and the amount of payphones that were basically needed before, the city still basically owned the rights for many of those spaces. So they're going to be dropping a special payphone kiosk into around 10,000 communication points around the city, and it's going to be funded by advertising. And they're basically going to, and you're going to be able to call 911 and 311 for free. But the main thing is they're going to have broadband Wi-Fi available. That's pretty cool. If it's free, does it say free? Yeah, free Wi-Fi. I wonder how fast that will be. All right, I have to. How many of you travel overseas a lot? You know, one thing you'll find out if you haven't before is that many times having the right adapter is, it can be a pain. So some folks have come up with a pretty cool traveler adapter kit. And this thing is awesome. Is this a Kickstarter or not? It might be $29 to $39 of how this is going to work. But basically, it's an all-in-one type deal that plugs on to your Mac power supply. So pretty slick there. Link will be up in the show notes on that. It's kind of ugly color, though. I hope they paint this thing white. I think those are prototypes. Google Glass Teardown puts rock-bottom prices on the hardware. Google objects to the notion that $1,500 headsets only cost $80 to make. Well, apparently, the breakdown was $79.78. But it definitely probably costs a lot more to, you know, to construct it. but $30 to $40 maybe, or $100 to put it together. But still, when this comes out, it should be a lot cheaper. Wahoo, W-A-H-O-O, has a new heart rate monitor. It also improves your running form. So if you have used some of these tracking devices, definitely check out Wahoo. I like this kind of stuff. If you guys find like heart monitoring devices, any kind of stuff that you can wear, I think this stuff is going to be important for all of us for managing our health. I had a physical, and I'll be honest with you. When I was in the Navy and flying, the flight physical that I got was incredible. Top to bottom, EKG, checking everything, right? Top, bottom, and you guys know, right? The whole deal. And this time when I went for physical, was a little bit dissatisfied to the level, you know, and a lot of questions, but not no EKG check. And I just kind of got used to that for after so many years. So I think it's going to be important for all of us, is our doctors don't have a lot of time to spend with us. We need to start monitoring our own health by some of these devices. So as you guys see stuff that comes on the market that you think's cool that you're trying, drop me a line, geeknews@gmail.com, because, you know, I'm getting older, and, you know, I'm starting to say, okay, you know, I'm going to be 50 this year. That means I'm going to be on the other side of the, you know, instead of being on the left side of the river, I'm going to be on the right side of the river, and it's all downhill from there, right? Let's help each other out and talk about these cool products together and find out what works and what doesn't. Now, Apple is apparently hiring an MIT researcher with expertise in ear-worn vital sign monitors. So that kind of tells you what's going on the Apple side. And finally tonight, we've got a pretty cool, when you guys see this, you're going to freak out just a little bit. And, you know, back in the days when probably still happens, when Russia and the United States spy on each other, diplomats and stuff, they actually called the devices that they use bugs. Well, bugs might become literally to, it might actually be a bug. And they're saying that at some point, millions of robotic bees may roam the earth. And they feel that they might be able to train a remote controlled or automated bee to be able to do pollination duties. You know, there's been some challenges in the honeybee population in doing their job. So they're trying to make sure that if some bees go extinct, that we're going to have the ability to have what's called a robo-bee to do pollination duties. If not, we're all going to be doing pollination duties to survive. Okay, that wraps it up for content. And, you know, I screwed up at the beginning of the show because I didn't read the email comments that have come in. I promise I'll kind of get that down. And let me load that here. And let's see here. There was only a few. Didn't get a lot this time. Let's see here. What's today's date? And when was the last show? Okay. A few here. Got an email from Ross. He says, "Hey, Todd, you don't need an app. I know some other podcasters have apps, but I just use PodCruncher to get all the podcasts I listen to. Hey, if you don't get the address of..." He says, "Hey, if you don't get the address of the person who won the prize, I included mine. Hey, it's my birthday." Hey, Ross. My birthday's coming up too. I got an email here from Russell. Says, "Todd, according to the app, he says, I wouldn't use it. I listen with Beyond Pod. Hopefully you're feeling better. Take care." Yes, I am feeling better. Thank you so much. Oh, my daughter's back here arguing with her mother outside my door. Well, I have to have a podcast discussion when I get off the show tonight. All right, Bloomberg, Sprint plans bidding for T-Mobile this summer. That's a rumor that's out. So interesting move here. Sprint planning a bid for T-Mobile. Well, I think we need more mobile carriers, not less. And I think that's my thought on that. Jeff, thanks for that that email. I do appreciate it. Hey, everyone, you know, really, this month, here we are. We're going to go into May. And I'd like to set a challenge forward. I'd like to add some insiders to the folks that are supporting the show financially. If you can come in at 6.7 cents a day, that's $2 a month. And or 5 would be great, 10, 15, 20, 25 if you think I'm fantastic. But consider becoming an insider. You'll find the link to the insider program at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Again, it's on the website as well. And you can set up that by PayPal and make it automatic. And we definitely appreciate all of our insiders already. But I'd like you to encourage all of you to basically continue to support the show. We've tried to cut the we've cut the number of advertisers down considerably, and we're hoping that you enjoy the faster pace of the show. And doing so will reward us by with you becoming an insider. If we get enough folks that are becoming insider, I can permanently drop the second advertiser. If we don't see an increase here soon, we're going to have to bring some more advertisers in. It's just the pure economics of the situation here. Have to have a certain amount of revenue, obviously, to keep the lights on and keep the show moving forward. So we hope that you'll consider becoming an insider. And really, all it takes is about 1,000 to 1,500 of this audience, which is a small percentage of this audience, to come on board at 6.7 cents a day or $2 a month. And we're really, it'll help us in a big, big way. But we want to thank everyone for being here. And thanks for your ongoing support. Feel free to email me, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, you can follow me on Twitter at Geek News. We look forward to seeing you. If you want to watch on Saturday, the new media show should be kind of interesting. We'll see if it turns explosive. I don't know if it will, but it could. So I hope you'll join me. And if not, we'll see you back here Monday or Tuesday morning release for those of you that are grabbing it via your podcatcher or listening online. Everyone, take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.